Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Okay.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning, happy Thursday to you. A bang up start for the day to me already. Just was getting my coffee ready. And I have a large, like, travel mug that I use when I'm on the air. It's from Miss Lizzie's Coffee. It's got the Lizzie Borden logo on it. And it doesn't quite fit under the Keurig, but I can kind of place it under there. Precariously enough that I can fill in. I've been doing this for months now and never had a problem. Today, it dropped out and spilled coffee everywhere. So I was over there cleaning it up. And the news ends while I'm still cleaning coffee. So anybody that goes into the kitchen, be careful. Floor's still a little wet, but I think I got it mostly cleaned up. That's all right, though. It's going to be a warm day. It's going to be a muggy day. Tomorrow we will start to get some relief, but you just got to get through one more day of this heat dome nonsense. And yesterday wasn't too bad. So Tuesday, I walked out of here after the show. I went and did a few, I usually talk to Chris McCarthy before he starts. And then I go into my office and do a few things. And then I was going to go to Walmart. And I said, you know what? I'm going to walk over to Walmart. And I walked outside. Phil Devitt was outside. And he's like, I don't know if you want to walk to Walmart. And I was like, I'll be fine. And by the time I got just about to Walmart, I said, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. Because it was just hot and muggy. And I'm only starting my day off. I don't want to be all hot and sweaty. But I was okay. I made it back. Took me a while to cool down. But it wasn't too bad. Yesterday, I drove someone to Fall River in the afternoon at about 1 o'clock or so. I said, are you sure you want to get a ride with me? I don't have air conditioning. And she said, no, that's fine. That's fine. And it was okay. But when I got back here afterwards and I came inside and I felt the air conditioning of the office, I said, oh, yeah, no, that's why I needed it in my car. So you just got one more day like that to get through. Hopefully you slept comfortably last night. Tomorrow it'll start to return back to the mean in the afternoon. So we have a lot that we can discuss this morning. One of the things that I want to talk about this morning is we have a new development in the Sweatpants Coyote saga. For something that I thought was kind of such an innocuous story, I'm going to be writing part three when I get off the air. Because each time that we have put something out about this, we've gotten more information. And the only reason I haven't written part three already and have it ready for you this morning is because I need to confirm some things with Westport Police. But it's taken quite the turn. I guess in the end, you know, everybody did the right thing, but it's just weird that I'm getting information in bits and pieces here. And then also, another thing that I wanted to discuss today at some point is for the last couple of days I've had to run into the Walmart here for different things. And the last couple of days I've walked into the Walmart, they've had hardly any registers open. And I don't understand why, if we are checking ourselves out, these were all self-checkout registers. If we are checking ourselves out, why do you have so many closed self-checkout stations? There was a line all the way back to the service desk of people waiting to check out yesterday at about 6:30 p.m. And I was, you know, kind of just making some wisecrack comments with the people in line as we were stuck there in line. I said, you know, maybe having people who aren't, because people are taking forever at the limited number of checkouts they have. I said, you know, maybe having people who aren't trained in how to use these things isn't the smartest plan. But still, it would have been a lot easier if all of those self-checkout stations were open. And I know we're going to get some dumb, stupid corporate reason as to why that's the case. Oh, we can't have them all open because we only have a limited number of employees that can keep an eye on the people that are checking them out. Well, then, you know what? Go to a different plan. I mean, why, when I go back to the electronics section, are there two people working behind the counter there and nobody checking out up there? One of those people can go keep an eye on the folks at the front. Why is there somebody standing over near the register at the garden center when they don't let you use check out at the register at the garden center? And I don't mean to necessarily pick on Walmart, but that seems to be the place where the problem is. They're the ones that want to have self-checkout, which I'm not against, by the way. What I am against is when you take out all the regular registers and replace them with self-checkouts, telling us that that's going to be better, and then none of them are open. I don't know how many, I think I want to say 8. I should have counted, but I think there are 8 in that self-checkout bank and over here in Fairhaven. And then they turned all the other ones into self-checkout, except for, I think, like 2. And out of the 8, half of them were closed. 4 of them were closed. And it might be more than that. It might be 10. But half of them were closed. One said lane closed and had the little stand up over the part where you scan things. The other ones were just off. And instead of having the red light turned on, they just had no light turned on. So that makes me think there's not anything wrong with them and that they're just off. And then the other lanes, the ones, you know, that are former regular checkouts converted, those are all just grayed out. They're not, there's no red lights, there's no green lights, they're just off. And it doesn't make any sense. Whatever the reason is behind it, it still goes back to the reason of you chose this. And if you chose this, you have to make it work. I saw people in line put their stuff down and didn't go back to where it was, where they got it from. They just put it down. Somebody put their stuff on top of the shopping carts when you first go into the store and just walked out the door. Another person left their cart full of stuff and walked out the door. What really ticked them off was when one of the only people that was standing there, and I'm going to use radio air quotes here, helping the self-checkout people, announced to everybody, all right, I'm going to lunch, and then walked away. Now, you have every right to go to lunch, and by law, you should be going to lunch if it's that time. But shouldn't somebody else have come over and taken over for you? Now you've got one kid trying to run back and forth, helping everybody doing the self-checkout. And honestly, he didn't seem like he knew what he was doing either. No offense, kid. But when I need help in the store, the answer that I don't want is, hang on, I got to go get somebody else. But I just thought that the whole thing was ridiculous. A comedy of errors kicked off by the fact that Walmart chose this, but couldn't keep up with what it was that it chose. And again, I don't want to hear, well, we need a certain number of people up there to keep an eye on everybody that's doing self-checkout. You've got cameras. You've got somebody checking receipts as they walk out the door. The people who are there watching over the self-checkout are just standing around waiting for a problem. They're not watching people. They're talking to each other. They're talking to the customers. Turn on the other self-checkouts. Because if I walk in there and there's a line like that again, and you've got half those machines down, I'm going somewhere else. There's nothing I need there that's a Walmart exclusive that I can't get somewhere else. I'll pay a few more cents to not have to stand there in nonsense. So anyway, we can talk about that if you would like to. And I'm sure some of you would. We can also talk about this New Bedford Light story. If you haven't seen it yet, give it a read. It's by Grace Ferguson and Arthur Hirsch. The headline, City Clamps Down on Sober Homes and Lodging Houses. So with all the news lately about sober houses and people saying, well, they need to crack down on them. Well, it turns out that they have been. They just haven't been too public about it. But what the city has been doing is it's been requiring sober houses to get licensed as lodging facilities. This month, the city sent letters to more than a dozen sober houses telling them they need a lodging house license. This is from the New Bedford Light report. Some also received letters saying that they will have to install fire sprinklers, which can cost tens of thousands of dollars, and the city is taking court action against two sober homes to investigate them for code violations. So this, from the way this is reported in New Bedford Light, a lot of this comes from not the recent talk about sober houses, but from that fire that happened at the rooming house. And that the safety qualifications they wanted to put in for these rooming houses would also apply to the sober houses. Now, the sober house owners are saying they shouldn't, that their home is no different than a normal residential dwelling, and that they have the proper number of adults living in the homes, that if it was a family living in that home, they would never come in and say you have to put sprinklers in this house. They would never say you need to have a lodging license. And if I was the sober homeowners and I was doing things the right way, I don't know how much I would fight the lodging house license. I mean, I guess it would depend on what the restrictions are to have one of those. But as we know, as we've come to find out, the city can't put zoning restrictions on sober homes because of the Americans with Disabilities Act. So if this lodging house license is really just to make sure that things are up to snuff, that you're on file, that you're on record, and that they will come in and inspect, if you're doing things the right way, you shouldn't have a problem with that. Basically, the license isn't keeping you from operating unless you don't live up to the qualifications of the license. And if you are caring for, or at least, you know, responsible for the housing of people who aren't your own relatives, there should be some protections in place. The same way that a landlord has protection, you know, a renter has protections in place. The landlord has to keep things up to code. I can understand if they want to try to fight the sprinkler thing, considering the cost and the fact that, yeah, it's a residential home and you wouldn't require that as a residential home in another home with 10 adults. But I think it's not out of, I don't think it's a ridiculous request to expect them to be licensed as a lodging facility. So we can get your thoughts on that, but I would recommend reading the report at newbedfordlight.org. And then another issue that I want to bring up this morning. A friend posted on Facebook last night. They live in Fairhaven. They have two small children and a dog. And last night, just after 9 p.m., a solicitor knocked on their door from a pest control company. And apparently this has been something that's been ongoing in that area, that these solicitors from a pest control company come late at night, well, late in the evening, I should say, anywhere between, you know, 7 and 10 p.m. I've seen people posting about. And that with this particular group, the problem is, you know, they're not, they didn't register with the police department like you're supposed to. But that aside, the fact that they are knocking on doors so late and that the, I don't know if it's an official bylaw or an ordinance or what Fairhaven calls it, but the basic rule is that they're not permitted to solicit after dusk. Yet they're coming and knocking on people's doors at 9 p.m. after 9 p.m., waking up their household. So I think that there's probably a lot of folks out there who have been dealing with this. And if you have been, alert the police. Don't, you know, don't call 911 when it happens. Call the non-emergency line, but alert the police and let them know. Because they're, I guess they're having trouble getting out and finding these people. By the time somebody calls the police and they go out looking for them, they're gone. But the fact that somebody would be so bold as to knock on someone's door after 9 p.m. looking to sell them something is unfathomable to me. Now, I've also seen people who have said, oh my God, it's so ridiculous. People knocking on the door trying to sell me stuff. Oh, they should outlaw this. This should be, solicitation should be banned outright. Listen, door-to-door salespeople have been a thing for as long as there have been sales. As long as there have been doors, there have been door-to-door salespeople. The tinkerer used to come and knock on your door to see if he needed anything that needed fixing. The ragman used to come and knock on your door. In the 1950s, the vacuum salesman would come to your door. The Fuller Brush Man would come to your door. It's not as uncommon as you think, and it's not as new of a phenomenon as you think, but they all had the respect to have a certain point in the day where they just didn't knock on your door anymore. Nope, didn't get there by 4 o'clock. They're probably getting ready for dinner or the kids are doing their homework. I'll come back tomorrow. nobody would have dreamed of knocking on somebody's door at 9 p.m. in 1955 to try to sell them something. I got a caller here coming in. I do have to take a break. You know what? I'll take the call really quick. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning. I just wanted to let you know that I went to Walmart a week ago on Friday, and no registers were open. The line had to go through that privacy one where they have six or seven registers with two people observing. And the line was all the way back to the coolers. People were very upset. I had to take a neighbor there on Saturday, and they had one register open. And if I go, I went to the Dartmouth Walmart, all the registers were open. So mm-hmm. that tells me one thing. Pilferage. They're having a problem with people stealing. And it, all it means is going to raise prices, so they have taken measures to provide more security. That is the problem. It's not happening in Dartmouth. All the registers were open, and they stand so were the self-registers. But in Fairhaven, they have two people watching the people doing the self-registers, and the line just goes as far back as necessary. They did have one register open on Saturday. So my
response to that would be, and not to you, I mean to the company, would be, so if you're having a problem with stealing, then you need to increase the presence up front. You don't limit the registers and limit people's shopping experience because of that fact. You don't punish the people who are there to pay for their items because other people are stealing.
Well, there's no question that they can do something, and they started to do something differently because they did open up one register on Saturday morning. But there is obviously a problem with the clientele, if that's what you want to call it, because that doesn't happen in Dartmouth. Doesn't happen in Wareham. So that's my take on it. I could be wrong, but I tend to think that I'm pretty astute in what I'm thinking.
All right. Thank you for the call. You have a good day.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
And I will say, you know, Dartmouth is certainly got a lot more checkouts open. Wareham has more checkouts that actually have people manning them. There are actual, you know, four or five lanes that at any given time that I've gone in that you can actually have somebody ring you up. And for the most part, all of their self-checkout ones are running. So the caller is totally right in that regard. I got to take a break here, and then we'll be back in just a quick moment. And we are back, and Phil has confirmed that I do smell like coffee. So I have spilled it all over myself, and I just realized as I was looking, like, I am covered in it. So I got to go home. Sorry, Phil, take over the show. I'll be back after I get changed. No, we will, of course, continue on with the discussion after the news. But right now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt.
A heat wave rolls on as we officially enter summer. A Juneteenth celebration erupts in violence, and a star explosion you can see from Earth.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A punishing heat wave continues to scorch the Northeast and the Midwest. Sally Patterson reports on what some state officials are doing to mitigate the risks of high temperatures.
Cities have cancelled street fairs, for example, and public outdoor activities to keep residents out of the heat. In Washington, D.C., some public pools have been opened a week early so people can cool down.
Heat emergencies are being declared in several cities, with the potentially dangerous temperatures expected to linger for several days. The highest level of the Weather Service heat risk is expected to be reached from Chicago to Boston. Several cities across the region recorded record high daily temperatures yesterday, with feels-like temperatures, including humidity, reaching 100 degrees in some spots. Meanwhile, Tropical Storm Alberto is bringing severe weather to the coast of Texas. The National Hurricane Center says Alberto is about 290 miles southeast of Brownsville this morning, and it's heading toward the northern coast of Mexico. A Juneteenth celebration in Oakland, California, erupted into violence. Police say at least four people were shot and several others injured during the celebration Wednesday night. About 5,000 people in total were at the event. The U.S. military expects to reopen a pier anchored to Gaza soon to deliver humanitarian aid to the region. Defense Department officials said they're aiming to get the pier up and running sometime this week after it was damaged by rough weather. The pier was first set up in late May as a way to get more aid into Gaza, where Palestinians are struggling to access basic necessities as Israelis' war against Hamas continues. A black congressman from South Carolina is blaming disinformation for President Biden's poll numbers slipping among black voters. Recent polling suggests that former President Trump could attract up to one-fifth of black voters in November. When asked about the poll numbers on MSNBC on Wednesday, Democrat Jim Clyburn said this is all about miscommunication and disinformation and claimed the media was repeating these things rather than reporting what's actually happening. The shipping industry is calling for action to be taken in the Red Sea after Houthi rebels sunk another merchant ship. Authorities confirmed Wednesday that a Greek coal carrier was sunk last week by Houthi militants off the coast of Yemen using missiles and a remote-controlled boat full of explosives. In a joint statement on Wednesday, the world's top shipping association said these attacks must stop now and called for states with influence in the region to safeguard innocent seafarers and for the swift de-escalation of the situation in the Red Sea. And a star's 3,000-year-old explosion will be visible from Earth soon. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
NASA scientists call it a once-in-a-lifetime event. The explosion will be visible for a few days between now and September, burning bright enough to appear as a new star in the sky. A light year is the distance light travels in 1 year, so scientists have concluded the so-called blaze star explosion happened 3,000 years ago. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Blue Jays last night. A three-game series with the Cincinnati Reds starts on Friday, and the Celtics victory parade tomorrow in Boston kicks off at 11 a.m.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Expect partly sunny skies as we go through the day today. It's going to be another warm and humid one with a high near 85 along the South Coast. For tonight, mostly cloudy, still on the muggy side with a low of 66. And for Friday, a blend of sun and clouds with a chance of showers or thunderstorms. Your high along the South Coast near 84. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. And, of course, we started off talking about some kind of it's kind of like a what grinds my gears kind of morning. So if you have experienced these solicitors, these door-to-door solicitors who have been coming at an ungodly hour, not that 9 p.m. is an ungodly hour, but it's really certainly too late to be knocking on someone's door. Listen, if somebody knocks on my door that late, I think it's an emergency. Especially in the case of my friends who had already gone to bed. They have two young children. They get up early to go to work. They're not going to want to talk about pest control at 9 p.m. And to their credit, you know, they did listen a little bit. They didn't flip out on the person. They listened a bit and said, no, thank you. We're not interested. And I've had that situation, obviously not at 9 p.m., but I've had people knock on the door and I've tried to be polite and listen a little bit and then tell them I'm not interested. I don't just close the door in their face because I know for a lot of those people, look, first of all, they're not doing it because they want to. They're doing it because they were told to. The salesperson probably knows, gee, I don't feel right knocking on somebody's door at 9 p.m. But they're being told by their boss that they have to do it. during the lockdown of the pandemic there, the time when we were all home, I had somebody that came and knocked on my door and tried to sell me magazines. And I said, first of all, you shouldn't be having to knock on people's doors, go door to door when everybody else is worried about getting sick. Like, why are you knocking on people's doors? And he said, I just was told to do it. So they couldn't move you to like telephone sales during this time? Nope. They told us to go and knock on people's doors. Said people are home, they're bored, they need to read magazines. I said, well, I haven't bought a magazine in 10 years, probably. So I'm not going to start now. But, you know, you can mark me down as somebody that was interested, and they can send me the trial. And they send you, like, I don't know, like 10 magazines in a trial. And then you just got to make sure you cancel before they actually start charging you. But I was like, at least the kid can say I knocked on somebody's door and got somewhere. And you know how many of those magazines I read that I got? Well, maybe two. But it's not the person's fault. They're not the one that made the decision to say, you know what, I think 9 p.m. is a good time to go knock on somebody's door. It's a fault with how their company is being run. And people get home later because they work more. Or they've got to take the kids to sports. Or they've got to, you know, go to the gym. Or they've got to, you know, maybe they're going to go out and have dinner, and then they don't get home until 8:30, 9 o'clock. So somebody is telling them the time to get people at home is 9 p.m. You can't knock on the door at 3 p.m. anymore and expect there to be somebody that answers the door. If anybody is home, it's probably, you know, kids who aren't supposed to open the door until their parents get home. And even if the kid does open the door, what good does that do the salesperson? They're not authorized to buy anything. So they're probably telling them as a sales strategy, go out after 7 p.m. Go out between 7 and 10 and see how many people you can get to answer the door. With no courtesy for the people that actually live in those homes. There's very few things that you're going to knock on my door and convince me to buy. Like I said, that kid with the magazines during the pandemic, I kind of felt bad and I was like, I'll take the free trial. Also, he was right. You know, it gets boring at home and I could use a magazine to read. But for the most part, if somebody knocks on my door and offers me pest control, I'm not hiring you. I'm going to hire the company that's in town that people have used for years, that I probably know. If I want solar, I'm gonna reach out to the people that are going to sell me solar. I don't need somebody knocking. I'm going to reach out to Isaacson Solar. Go to their website, isaacsonsolar.com. I'm not going to wait for somebody to knock on my door at 9 p.m. to try to sell it to me. I'm sitting around thinking, gee, I really want to go solar. But just nobody's knocked on my door yet. Just sitting there by the door waiting. Checkbook in hand, waiting for somebody to come and knock on the door. Asking me if I'm interested in buying solar. No. I wonder how effective is door-to-door sales anymore. We live in a culture now where people don't even want to answer the phone when somebody calls them. I'm not going to pick up. If I don't pick up, he'll just text. Or they'll be sitting there, the phone rings, they look at it, they say, nope, not going to answer it. And then they send a text back to the person. Sorry, can't talk now. See, I don't even bother calling somebody. People know that if I call you, it's an emergency. If I call, or it's something that I can't, you know, won't work so well in text. Too complicated. Or I'm not in a position, I'm not in a situation where I can type. But if I call you, it's people pick up when I call because they say, wow, Tim never calls. So if we live in a society where people don't even answer the phone, what makes you think they're going to answer the door? 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, what's going on,
Seth? How you doing?
Not bad. That's a wild story. If 9 o'clock, knocking on somebody's door at 9 o'clock, you, in a lot of places, you'd get met with a dog and a gun if you knocked in someone's door at 9 o'clock.
Right, that'd be my
thinking. Yeah, you'd probably think that it's either an emergency or someone's trying to break in or something because, you know, that's absolutely ridiculous that time of night. So, I don't know. That's and then, you know, talking about, like, solar. Yeah, that, for somebody who's trying to sell something, that's a major financial decision that you're not going to make because somebody knocked on the door. That's something you have contemplated for a while. Did price comparisons online or just through people that you know. You know, somebody knocking on my door going, hey, you want solar? Yeah, sure. Let me throw down like $20,000 right now. Let me write you a check real quick. That, you know, that type of stuff just doesn't happen. It's just a bad sales tactic, I think, on that level. I mean, you want to sell me a set of knives? Yeah, I might buy you a set of knives if you knock on my door. But solar, any big purchases? I mean, next you're going to have somebody knocking on your door and say, hey, do you want to buy this Ford F-150? I'll just keep it, you know, in the driveway for a while. You can test drive it.
Yeah, I've never heard of anybody doing door-to-door car sales, so why would you expect something of that magnitude? I mean, I guess, you know, it's helpful to some degree if, you know, you go to people's homes and educate them about solar, like, oh, your home would be a great fit for solar. Have you thought about it? No, I have no idea. I've never even heard of it. And then you can sit down and you can talk to them about it, but that's a conversation to have at 4 p.m., not at 9 p.m.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you're never going to get anybody willing to spend more than 1 minute talking to you. And that 1 minute is going to be like, why the hell are you here? And get off of my lawn. And that's pretty much the extent of that entire conversation. Because you're already, you know, relaxed. You already had dinner and you're ready to go to bed almost in about an hour and a half, 2 hours. So you're already relaxed.
Or in the case of my friends, already in bed.
Yeah, yeah. Depending on your age. Imagine knocking on an elderly person's door, 80 years old, 9 o'clock. They already took a shower. They took a bath. They're already eating at 4:30, and they are literally on their way to bed, and you're knocking on their door and going, hey, what do you think about solar? That's a great idea. That, when I turned on the car this morning, I heard a gentleman talk about, I think it was shoplifting.
Yeah, because I was complaining about the fact that the Fairhaven Walmart doesn't have any of the self-checkouts open. Half the registers were closed yesterday.
Yes. So that's actually a trend that there are a lot of these retailers are looking at. Walmart being one of them, but many of them are starting to look at. They're going to get rid of the self-checkout literally because of theft. Because a lot of people are stealing, and they're... It's more cost effective because to close the self-checkouts and have you wait in line or open or hire more people and do checkout again than have self-checkout, because a lot of people are doing, you know, they'll scan one thing and like three other things would be hidden and they'll toss it in the bag. And that's what they found across the country, is that self-checkouts, we told them, I mean, everybody with three brain cells in their head told them, well, like, listen, your shrinkage is going to go up because a lot of people are going to steal because you're literally trusting them and using the honor system. Even though they have a whole ton of cameras on you, there's still going to be a lot of people that are going to be able to sneak something through. And yeah, it's Target, Walmart, all your big retailers are looking to actually start to eliminate the self-checkout going forward. So that's probably one of the things that you're looking at. I noticed that in Dartmouth. Dartmouth has a lot of the self-checkouts closed also. Maybe not as much as Fairhaven, but they had quite a few of the lines closed up, and they had more people manning the cash registers.
Well, we'll have to see what happens. I got to hold you there because I got to take a break, but thank you for the call.
All right, Tim.
You have a good day.
Bye. You too.
And I do have to take this break, but I am getting told here via an app chat message from Stephanie. She says, good morning, Tim. Traffic heavy on 195 East just after the Fairhaven exit. So I'm going to look up on Google Maps and see what's going on there. But there may be, you know, a crash or something happening. I'll keep looking into that during the break, but we'll be back in just a few moments. Yeah, Chris McCarthy and I are the ones keeping Donny Iris music alive. We both play that song quite a bit. Of course, Donny Iris was part of Wild Cherry, you know, play that funky music. So he's had quite the career. Anyway, we did get an app chat message. By the way, I looked up during the break. There is a crash. It looks like about halfway between the Fairhaven and Mattapoisett exits. And so that now has traffic backed up on 195 East, actually all the way back now to 240. So before it was just when you started to get on the highway after 240, but now it's backed up even before that. So we're starting to back up into New Bedford. So if you're headed that way, keep that in mind. We'll keep an eye on it for you. I did get an app chat message from Andrew, who says, the Walmarts all around should just get more aggressive with loss prevention to stop the constant theft. Obviously, having roaming employees that have no ability to stop a shoplifter is failing and causing more issues to paying customers having to wait in line and raising prices. Stop worrying about liability or offending people. Get back to stopping, shaming, and prosecuting thieves. The paying customers deserve better. Well, I can tell you that, you know, there are certainly people who, I will say, take advantage of that situation, that take advantage of the self-checkout idea. But I think you had, you know, a lot of shoplifting that was happening in the stores even before a self-checkout, just in other parts of the stores, putting stuff in their pocket in other parts of the stores. And you're never going to stop at 100%. But you're saying that they can enforce it. I say, I wonder how much they even bother to try to enforce it. It's great to have cameras everywhere, but somebody's going to be looking at them. We can talk more about that. We're going to take a break here, but we'll be back in just a few moments. And Aldo Nova, another band that Chris and I are keeping alive. Anyway, we are going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we can talk more with you. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails open on the WBSM app if you would like to contribute in those manners. And, of course, I do love talking to you. I do love hearing your voice and going back and forth with you. So 508-
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.